Will you turn in the Bibles, please, to Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of the Holy Spirit, or the Acts of the Risen Christ? First of all, we're reading the opening verses of chapter 8, Acts chapter 8. During the lunch interval, we'll be sharing a little bit more about the tracts and literature which is available and how they can be distributed and so on. And any questions you want to ask John or Pam or Nikki or myself, please feel free to do so. Acts chapter 8. Now Saul was consenting to Stephen's death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Therefore, those who were scattered because of the opposition, because of the beatings, because of the mockery, because of the persecution, because of the insults, they went everywhere preaching the word. Aren't you pleased? God's sovereign. Hallelujah. Witnessing for Jesus. Just come back with me to the first chapter of the Acts. And verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I love that. You will be witnesses for me. You will be witnesses to me. Witnesses to Jesus Christ. Witnesses for Jesus Christ. That is how the book of Acts opens up with those remarkable words. You will be clothed in power. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The church is being born. Hallelujah. What a wonderful book the Bible is. I hope you love it. I hope you've got a hunger for it. I hope you have. Ask God to give you an appetite for his word. Far better to feed on this, and I speak to myself, friends, I find it sometimes more attractive to read a newspaper than I do this. I confess it. Oh, that we will have a hunger, real hunger, for God's word and for the living Lord's. It's an amazing book. And the book of Acts, the book of the risen Christ, what an incredible book it is. It really is. It tells us how the Christian life should be lived. It tells us how the Christian church should operate. Because we see here authentic churches being built. It's not talking about buildings. We're talking about the fellowships, the congregations of God's saints, how they're being built, how they're growing together in love and fellowship, what they were about, being about the Master's business. It tells us how nothing eternal, nothing that's going to last, is accomplished just by human efforts. But it is accomplished when lives, individuals, churches are empowered and submitted to the Holy Spirit. Because then lives are transformed by the sovereign power of God. We heard our brother speak just now about yielded, surrendered to the Lord. And you know, we don't have to be eloquent in speech, but our lives must be submitted to him so that we are empowered ourselves. Our lives are being transformed. Our hearts and minds are being renewed by God, by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. This book, particularly the book of Acts, shows us how our lives, your life, my life, can count. Whatever your age, whether you have become more mature in age and you no longer go to the dentist but send your teeth in advance, whatever, or whether you are young in years, maybe you have become sterile in your faith, God wants to speak. He wants your life to count. Whether you have become weary with advancing years, whether you are blessed as a youth with Superman strength, this message, this book is for you, is for me. Because discipleship is all about a living, ongoing relationship with the living Lord God. It concerns rejecting our former life, turning our back on what went on when we were still serving Satan, when we were boss instead of the Lord. It says, turn your back on those former things. It's embracing the fullness of the new life, which is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? See, the true Christian is not ashamed of his master, nor of the gospel. Sometimes we are. We talked last week about the full gospel and the fool's gospel. One is biblical, one is of man. And occasionally we're ashamed of the full gospel, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to water it down, we want to compromise, we'll just be quiet. We've all been there, haven't we? I certainly have. But hey, I don't want to be ashamed of Jesus. Do you know why? Because we read it at Home Fellowship on Wednesday evening. This God is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. That's incredible. The living, awesome, creator, judge, savior, this majestic God, if you are a believer, if you are now a friend of Jesus, he's not ashamed to be related to you. God our Father, also our brother. Incredible. What an awesome God. Why should we want to deny him? God help us. God forgive us. The born again believer, the true disciple, realizes again, as we said on Wednesday, that this life is just temporary. The earth will pass away. Okay? Our life, the Bible talks about it being as a vapor. I know if I spoke to some of you who are even more older than me, you'll say, hey, it seems only like yesterday I was running around kicking a ball in the park. It's just whizzed by. We say every year, don't we? Wow, isn't time flying? It will soon be Christmas. And we groan, don't we? Time is fleeing by. We are only here for a short time. So God wants us to make our lives count. Not only that he wants to impact our life, my life, your life, with the great gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, but that as we live for Jesus, our influence goes further. Part of the way our influence is going to go further in these days is because we are going to be opposed for the stand we take for Jesus, for the stand we take on morals, for the stand we take for the biblical gospel. But others will hear. They will know, hey, that man, that woman, that boy, that girl, that church is so in love with the Lord Jesus, they are prepared even to give their lives that others may live, that I may hear the truth. Glory to God. You know, this life, it should be counting for glory. God doesn't want the believer to live it for themselves. Doesn't mean to say we don't have fun, that we don't have... If we have Jesus, doesn't mean to say all of our problems suddenly disappear. In fact, they may come a bit in greater number. But it does mean we have one who is living with us, beside us, inside us, the word says, who is empowering us to be an overcomer. That we have life to the full. the Bible says, is for, is eternity, eternal life, is freedom. Because we may think we're having a good time, but if we were just having a good time, living for today, living for what we can obtain, living for fun, living for the dates, not the fig dates, but you know what I mean. Hey, that's all going to suddenly vanish. And then what will happen? John spoke about hell. Not mentioned much today, is it? Fearsome judgment. God, hey, he says, you come to me. I'm not only going to forgive you your past. I know some of the mistakes you're going to make in the future. But I want you to remain with me, abiding in me. As I'm abiding in the Father, Jesus says, so abide in me. I don't have to throw away the branches, but I may have to remain faithful in me, remain loving in me. This life is preparation for eternity. This life is our preparation for reigning with Jesus. Honestly, for the believer, you may suffer. The word that I shared with our brother as we gave the right hand of fellowship is saying, no, the suffering may be intense here, but it's only temporary. If we're living, and those who are living just for Jesus, they may have a bit of fun now. Don't have real peace. I never had real peace when I was right in the world. They don't have real peace. They just got to go from one fix to the next, from one thing to the next, from one boy to the next, from one, and so it goes on. But then the suffering, if there's no repentance, will be for eternity. That's awful. That's too dreadful to contemplate. But I have to tell you, friends, it's a subject that Jesus taught about more than he did of heaven. I can't ignore it. Neither can you. But if you're a believer, hey, you have been rescued from what we deserve and from what I deserve and what you deserve. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for sending your Son into this world. Thank you. And if you haven't embraced the Lord, I can't tell you, because in this book of Acts, I counted 14 actual sermons, 14 addresses, 14 where Peter or Paul and the others had a meeting, had a confrontation, had a sermon, had addressed others who were in the streets or wherever they were meeting. And you know, not once in those 14 times do the apostles actually say to unbelievers, those who are still in their sin, God loves you. Not once. Not once. He doesn't say, come and have a relationship with God. But he does say, they repeat time and time again, it is sin, personal sin, which will condemn us. That we deserve death. But that God sacrificed his Son. That's love. That is the love of God. Incredible love. Amazing love. Fantastic love. That God had a plan from eternity past to save sinners. But until we recognize that we have come so short of the glory of God and recognize that we've broken, even if we've just broken one commandment, we've, as it were, fallen foul of God and his righteousness. We've all broken a commandment. We've all come short. None of us have loved the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul and minds all the time. We haven't. So we're guilty. Until we, and this is the message we take out into the streets, till we realize we're guilty, then the revelation of God's love and mercy breaks through. He's come to save and seek and save that which was lost. Isn't that glorious? That's the power of the biblical gospel. As we go and talk to our neighbours, as we converse with those in our college, in the school, in our family members, down the shops, on the bus, wherever there's real people and God shows us that person needs deliverance, that person needs salvation. We believe in the biblical gospel. Do you know that you're a sinner? Do you know how Satan has got a hold on your life? Then look to Jesus. There's power in the gospel. Look to Jesus and you will live. Look to Jesus and you'll be freed from your addiction. Look, are you willing to pay the... You know, how did Jesus preach the gospel? Let's just turn to Matthew's gospel. Matthew's gospel. It's either 16 or 19. Chapter 19 and verse 16. I'd got the 19s and the 16s in my head, but not quite sure which way they were coming to come out. But it's 19 and 16. This is Jesus and the gospel. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So Jesus says to him, "Oh, come to me and I'll give you purpose." No, he didn't. Jesus actually makes a guy look at himself. Why do you call me good? No one is good but one that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honour your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbour as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things have I kept from my youth." Well, he's a liar to begin with, wasn't he? "What do I still lack?" Well, Jesus looked in and he said, "Look, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and when you will have then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. That's the gospel. People need to be aware. If we love them enough, we will ask the Holy Spirit to reveal something of their sin. Something how far they've missed the mark. That there is a cost to discipleship. But if you're willing, God, he will reach into the life and transform from the inside out. This gospel is powerful. It's the gospel that delivers. It's the gospel that saves. It's the gospel that frees. But the bad news has to be proclaimed so that it really, really does become good news that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Friends, we preached last week on the true gospel. And I want you to just be so in love with Jesus, so in love with the biblical gospel, so in love with the biblical word that you don't, and I don't, and this fellowship, just, we don't compromise. Many, many churches are being built on people, ignorant, sinful people, being comfortable. Being made to feel comfortable. I've even heard this week of a young person who is in college, who loves the Lord. He loves the Lord, the love of Jesus in him, recognizing that all he's surrounded with are people who don't love the Lord. That can be an offense to the others. That's what God has called us to be. To shine for Jesus, to be sought. Who knows how even in that college, where a rebellious person, a rebellious young person, may see something of the glory of Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ, something of their own rottenness, something of the love of God, that they will be found on their knees, begging God for mercy. People being aware they are sinners, but then seeing the incredible mercy of God. We could fill this place and beyond by making it palatable, by not confronting the sin issue. But not only would we have helped those people who are in here to go to hell, but we will have to stand before God one day. I have every confidence in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every confidence in it. Every confidence in it. And that is what we want to proclaim. Even this week. Stand for Jesus. The church in Acts grew. Grew. It spread abroad. Because Christians were prepared to stand up for Jesus. They were witnesses to Jesus. Witnesses for Jesus. They suffered. But glory, the glory of God was among them. The power of God was among them. And then one day, as they remained faithful to the Lord, they heard these words from Jesus. Thank you for being obedient. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving the brothers and sisters. Thank you for loving the lost. Welcome. Welcome home. You've been a good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy that I prepared for you. We can make our lives count. You can make your life count for Jesus. This church can stand on the solid rock, Christ Jesus, and we will see Christ grow it with his disciples. The discipling goes on in here. The discipling goes on in our home. We go. He that winneth souls is wise. Let's pray. Lord, we don't look for opposition, we don't look for trouble, but we are seeking to be faithful to you. Will you quicken your word to us, Lord? Lord, sometimes you allow agents along, which cause us problems and persecution and trouble, but may we have a heart like Joseph had, who many years later could look back and say, you lot meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. May we see your sovereignty, O Lord, in each and every one of our lives. May we see your power at work in our lives. Lord, I get offended. I get hurt sometimes. I confess it when a door is slammed on my face. I get hurt. I get offended. I go into my corner sometimes when I'm ridiculed for my faith. I pray, O Lord, that even now, even today, we will be bold. We will be very courageous because your Holy Spirit is upon us. We want to be obedient to you. We want to make our life count. We want to do business with you, Lord, your business. You will then build your church. May we be excited, Lord, by the opportunities you're going to give us. May we be excited by the opportunities that you will even use me, my brother, my sister, even today, this week. May we be excited because you are choosing to still use vessels to display your honour, glory and power. May we be excited by the possibility of seeing sinners taken out of their corruption and pit of despondency and despair and sin, and finding the well of salvation, the water of life, the freedom of sins forgiven. That you'll use even me, because I'm seeking to be faithful to you, alive to the possibilities being led by you. May we be excited, Lord, when we see that person crippled by disease, bound down with cancer, with addictions, finding that they are released because the yoke of the anointing has come upon them and loosed them because we were willing to pray. Not in our own name, in our own strength, but believing there's nothing impossible with you. May we also, Lord, be faithful even when it's not exciting. When the taunts come. When the ridicule comes. when the religious people get uptight with us. You can't do this, you can't do that. Pray we will be faithful. We will be energized by the Holy Spirit and we'll say, it's not about me, it's about you, Lord. You will strengthen, you will empower, you will be glorified by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. We will overcome. We will be victorious. Thank you, Lord, that as we wait upon the Lord, you will renew our strength. As we wait upon the Lord, we will learn to be overcomers, victorious. I pray for each and every one here today, Lord, that any who are still consumed by materialism, by this life, by the next fix, whatever it is, Lord, you will have mercy upon them. They will find repentance and be sold out for Jesus, the only life that is worth the life yielded to you. I have come that you might have life. I have come to deliver you from the pit of despair, from the hopelessness that comes by being a lover of the world and not a lover of God. You come, Lord, and by your power of your Holy Spirit, we need you. Thank you. We are willing to follow you. Willing to be witnesses for Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Remember, no good thing will he withhold from you who are walking uprightly. No good thing will he withhold from you who are walking uprightly. Thank you, Lord. We're going to just sing a song or two if anyone wishes to pray or just get on their knees, lay on their fronts, backs, whatever. Just let us be surrendered inside to Jesus and see what he will do. What a calling! What a calling! Ambassadors for Jesus, preaching his name, preaching Christ crucified. When Christ is preached, God's Spirit is at work, things happen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.